We would like to welcome you into the services of Union Temple Free Will Baptist Church with Pastor Brother Oscar McCamus. Our service times are Sunday morning at 9:45, Sunday night at 6, and Wednesday at 7. We're located just 9 miles out the Kingsport Highway and would love for you to join us. Now, we would like to welcome you into the services of Pastor Brother Oscar McCamus.
Mark chapter 5, verse 21. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet. And he besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood, or a flow of blood, or free bleeding, or whatever you might want to say, of 12 years, and had suffered many things and many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about the press and said, Who touched me? Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing that what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of the plague. While he yet spake. Now, what I want you to see here is, you see here that Jairus came to get Jesus to come and heal his daughter who was near death. And he had Jesus following him, ready to go. And then he got interrupted here. He got interrupted here taking care of this woman with the issue of blood. And while Jesus was healing, this woman had the issue of blood. Look here what happened. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of the plague. While he yet spake, there came from the rulers of the synagogue's house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. So his daughter died in the time of this interruption here. Why troublest thou the master any further? And as soon as Jesus heard the words that were spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, and this is what I want to preach on tonight, Be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And he, when he was come in, he said unto them, Why make ye this ado, and weep? The damsel, or the young girl, is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel, and them that were with him, and entered in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand, and said unto her, Talitha kumai, which is being interpreted, Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with a great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. Now, as I stopped there just in the middle of the reading, just to get you to see maybe what I'm really wanting to bring out here tonight. And if I would take a text, it's just simply verse 36, what Jesus said. When Jesus said, be not afraid, only believe. Now you as Bible students, and you read the Gospel of Mark, and you followed Jesus as he went from one hopeless case or one hopeless situation to another, and you witness the Lord Jesus demonstrate his power. If you studied this book, over the stormy sea, when he calmed the storm, you saw him demonstrate his power with a demon-possessed man. You saw him here in this scripture that we read here, heal a woman that had been sick with an issue of blood for 12 years. So Jesus has proven that he is more than adequate for any situation that he might encounter. And so it's basically what I'm saying is there's nothing too hard for the Lord to do. So Jesus spoke, and when he did, the raging sea and the tossing sea suddenly became calm. He commanded a man held captive by the devil, and he was set free. His power instantly healed a woman that was caught in the grip of a terminal illness. And so these three episodes right here prove that Jesus was the master of all the hopeless situation. And thank God that we serve a God tonight that possesses all power. We know that the Bible says all power is given unto him, both in heaven and earth. The Bible says now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever think or ask. The Bible also said, we even read it in this Christmas story, there's nothing impossible with him. And so tonight, though, we want to take this text of another hopeless situation here. And this time, Jesus faces the greatest enemy to man. And I think we all know what the greatest enemy to man is. Jesus faces death here in these verses, and he walks away the victory. And as we watch our Lord conquer one hopeless situation after another here, it should give you an eye tonight as his children hope when our own desperate times comes in our life. And so, and I want to take the Lord's words here in verse 36 and just preach a little while on be not afraid, only believe. And as I do, I'd like for us to see here Father's faith in action. Now we'll see how his faith is matured, or his faith is grown, or his faith is developed in the struggle he endured. Now what we learn here can help us to overcome fear with faith during the hard times of life. Because we all have hard times of life and difficult times. And so I want us to learn here how that we can overcome fear in the hard times of life with our faith. And so that's what I want us to see here. Now notice some the phases here of this father's faith that he passes through in this story. And the first phase that I want you to see in verse 21 through verse 24, I want you to see the conception of his faith. Now Jesus had just returned from the Bible says, a night at sea. He and his disciples went to the other side of the sea, and when he was come, Jesus, while he was over there, Jesus delivered a poor man from the grip of Satan, and by casting out the demons that possessed him. You may say, now preacher, do you think a Christian can be possessed of the devil? No, I don't believe a Christian can be possessed by the devil, but I believe that a Christian can be oppressed by the devil. I believe the devil can oppress a person so much, even though he's a Christian, that causes him to do some horrible things that we know that sometimes Christians do. But this man was possessed. Now Jesus has returned to Capernaum, and he immediately met a crowd of people. Now, some of these people had come to hear him speak. Nobody ever spoke like this man Jesus. Some had come in the hopes of experience a miracle. They knew that he was a miracle worker. And all was there, and they came to see Jesus. Now, a man named Jairus rushes into the crowd surrounding Jesus. Now, here in this scripture, the Bible says it serves the focus on these verses. He's a man whose little faith is about to become large faith. Now, I want you to see in verse 22 the direction of his faith. The Bible says this man is a ruler of the synagogue. Now, this means that he was one of the officials who oversaw the business of the synagogue. Now, he was not a priest, but he would have had a part in the services that were taking place there in the synagogue. He was responsible for making sure that everything was in order and everything was ready at the synagogue. And he had been a very important man in his community because of the position that he had. Now, Jairus possessed power. He possessed position, prestige, and prominence, and all those kind of things. He had to be a wealthy man and a fine. He had no doubt by being a wealthy man. He had a nice home. Probably he had servants also. And he was a religious man. Now, notice I said he was a religious man. There's a difference between a religious man and a Christian, but he was a religious man who faithfully practiced the Jewish faith. Now, at this moment in his life, those things that usually seemed so important to Jairus, they didn't matter much then. Now that his daughter is nigh unto death, none of those things, those positions he held, the power that he had, or the money that he had, those things wasn't very important anymore. Sickness and death had visited the home of Jairus, and none of those things that mattered, that he had mattered in his life, or they could drive this sickness away. Now, his power, his money, his position in the community, even his religion, was all powerless to heal his daughter. And so here, in the face of these enemies, of death, his little daughter was dying, and she needed help. Jairus needed help that none of his resources could provide for him. Now, this broken-hearted father knows he needs help. I think that's the first thing. In order to get help, you got to first of all realize you need help. Is that not right? And so he realized there was nothing he had or anybody that he had contact with could help him. So he needed help. He heard about Jesus, and he runs to him, and he humbles himself, and he falls at the feet of Jesus. Now, this must have been hard for Jairus to do this. After all, he's a ruler of the synagogue. All of his colleagues in the ministry disapproved of Jesus and his methods. Now, most of the synagogues had been closed to Jesus and his ministry. He couldn't go there. Yet this father is desperate, and he turns to a man named Jesus, for he needs help. Now, the fear of death and the love for his daughter and a sense of utter hopelessness drove this man to Jesus. Now, look here. Jairus doesn't understand everything there is to know about Jesus. But he has to believe one thing, that this man can heal. You may not know a lot about him, but I'm sure that he's heard, or maybe even saw himself, that he was able to heal diseases. And so, let me just remind you, as we're sitting here tonight, and remind us that tragedy and sickness and death doesn't care who you are. It don't make any difference who you are, what position you hold, how much money you got, or anything like that. The trials of life are not going to just pass you by. Job 14:1 says this right here. A man that is born of a woman is of a few days and full of troubles. Full of trouble. I wish we could escape the troubles of life, but we can't. The Bible, Jesus said in John chapter 16, verse 33, He said, I give unto you peace. I give you peace. But He said, in the world ye shall have tribulations. And so tragedy doesn't care if you go to church every day, every time the doors are open. Tragedy doesn't care if you pay your tithes and you do everything that you're supposed to do. Sickness and death could care less about your achievements and about your assets. Now, so when the trials of life comes, you need a resource outside of yourself. I think we all would agree with that. We know that the trials of life are going to come, and we know that we're not capable of handling those trials of life in ourselves. So we're going to need a resource outside of ourselves. When death and sickness and sorrow and marital trouble, trouble with your children, financial trouble, and you can just go on, when those things come, you need more than some religion or the stuff of this world. You need a faith that rests in the Lord Jesus and His power alone. And so that's what we need when these things come. And everybody here tonight, you've experienced probably all of these things that I read. You've experienced death in your family. You've experienced sickness in yourself and in your family. You've experienced financial troubles and all these things that have happened. But I want you to see here the depth of his faith. Now, perhaps Jairus had heard what Jesus could do just by touching someone who's diseased. Surely he had already heard the stories about the amazing power of the touch of Jesus. Now, he might have been in the synagogue, or he might have been by the seashore when Jesus reached down and touched some of those individuals that were sick or crippled or deaf or blind or whatever. We all know all the miracles he talks about that he did while he was here upon earth. He may have seen some of those himself with his own eyes. Jesus here, but regardless of whether he heard about it or regardless whether he saw it with his own eyes, Jairus believed that Jesus could do this for his daughter. Now, he believes that the Lord's touch will bring healing to this child. Now, thus the powerful man, he humbles himself at the feet of Jesus and he cries out for the help he needs. Get a picture of this in your mind. The ruler of the synagogue bowed at the feet of Jesus, whom the synagogue refuses, rejected, whom they didn't approve of his ministry. But now, when he's in desperate need, he's at the feet of this man and he cries out for need. Now, this is the kind of faith that Jesus is looking for in my life and in your life. And he wants us to come to the end of our own abilities. He wants us to come to the place where we know that we can't, and we get to the place where we know that he can. That's where Jesus wants every one of us to get. He wants us to get to that place where we understand we can't do nothing. Does that know what the Bible said? I can't do anything without him, but I can do all things through him. He wants us to get to that place where that we can't. We know that we can't do nothing, and we know that he can. Now, like Jairus, there will be many times when our faith is small and very weak. I'd have to stand here and confess to you tonight that I've experienced that in my own life. There's times when my faith is very weak, and there's times when it's small. And so here, but like Jairus, our faith must be in the Lord and his ability. Now, faith in Jesus is faith that will always be honored by God. God will always honor faith that is in the Lord Jesus. Now, you can have faith in a lot of things that's not going to make any difference. But what's important is that who the object of your faith. Now, the object of your faith should be the Lord. And if it's the Lord Jesus, then God honors that. Look what Mark 9:23 said. If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. John 14:13-14. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, faith in Jesus may start out very small. And I think it does. I think it starts out very, very small. But it'll not stay that way for very long. God has a way of growing our faith. Now, as we walk with Him through the days of our life, you can just think back some of the things that God allowed to happen in your life. And there wasn't nothing you could do about it. There wasn't nothing, there was no way you could solve it. And you just had to trust God and believe God. And through that, that growed your faith, that matured your faith, that developed your faith. And God allows that, those things to, in our life. And so the faith that starts out small and weak, and through going through the trials of life, then God develops that faith and grows that faith. And then I want you to see here in verse 24, down through verse 35, I want you to see the confusion of his faith. Now, someone is saying a faith that can't be tested is a faith that can't be trusted. A faith that can't be tested is a faith that can't be trusted. Now, here we see the underdeveloped or the immature faith of Jairus, whatever you want to say. Probably immature or underdeveloped. We see it here put to a test. A hopeless situation grew worse with each passing moment, and a faith that was weak was brought to its breaking point. And so here I want you to see he was confused by the hindering situation. Jesus leaves, as I pointed out when I was reading the scripture, Jesus leaves to go with Jairus to heal his daughter. And can you just imagine that in how this father felt? You think about it. He said, oh boy. I didn't know when I come whether he'd go with me or not. And now, after I got to him and I told him the need, and now he's going with me. And could you just imagine how he felt? He's going to be able to go and touch my daughter, and she's going to be made whole. She won't die. And he was all excited because Jesus was going with him. Probably didn't know whether he would or not whenever he came there. But the Bible says here, that Jesus leaves to go with Jairus to heal his daughter. And as he goes, he's thrown by a crowd, and a very sick woman touches his garments and is healed. And Jesus stops to confront and to comfort this woman. And as you imagine, as he does that, precious moments are ticking away as far as Jairus' daughter is concerned. And so I would imagine that Jairus, now you say, how do you know that? Because he's human, he was a father, I'm human and I'm a father. He had a little girl, I had a little girl. And I'm sure that he was confused by this delay. I'm sure that he was a little upset that Jesus stopped and was delaying. After all, his daughter is in the dying process. She doesn't have much time. And as far as he was thinking, Jesus was wasting his time with this woman. Now, it's very possible that Jairus knew this woman and her condition. He probably knew that she's been sick for a long time. And in fact, the Bible says for 12 years. He may have knew that. And he may be thinking that just waiting another hour is not going to matter. It's not going to kill her. But he said another hour's interruption might just cause my daughter to die. Why would he do that? Why, Jesus, why are you delaying? He didn't say that all of you, but I know that's what he's thinking. You're wasting precious time. And on the service here, the Lord's delay seems a little insensitive. You know, seemed like, well, he don't really care about Jairus' daughter. He don't really care if she dies before we get there or not. Now, I said on the surface, that's how that appeared. That's how that appeared to the Father. Now, he's not really caring. he knows the seriousness of the situation. He knows the broken heart of this father. He knows the urgency of the need. But Jesus pauses to take care of the needed hand. How about that? Can you just imagine yourself in that situation? Can you just imagine yourself? Now, what seems to be hard and harsh on the surface has some very important lessons to teach us. Now, here's some very important lessons that we can learn from what Jesus taking time here to do something else when we thought he shouldn't have done that. And what it teaches us is God doesn't run on our schedule. God doesn't run on your schedule. He doesn't run on my schedule. God is not bound by the constraints of time and space. He may surprise you, but God does not possess a calendar or a clock. How about that? He don't have that. And so something else here you need to see. This play here of life are designed to, the delays in life are designed to increase our faith. Sometimes when I pray, when do you want the answer for it? Just quick as I get done, I say amen. I want the answer there, don't you? I think we all would have to say amen. But what does when he delays on giving the answer, what does that do? What does that do for you as a Christian? That grows your faith. That develops your faith. That helps your faith to increase. Now, let me give you an example of that. You take Joseph. You remember the one of the 12 sons of Jacob? You take Joseph and you throw him in a pit. Time goes on. Then he's thrown into slavery. Time goes on. Then you throw him into prison. And out of that delay, God will give you the prime minister of Egypt and a man of God. Took all of that to get him to that place. All of those delays, spending that time in the pit, spending that time in the prison, spending that time in all of this slavery. Now, when God doesn't move as quickly as you might like for him to, let me give you some real profound thing to do. When God doesn't move as fast as you would like for him to do, trust him anyway. Trust him anyway.
We would like to thank you for listening to the services of Brother Oscar McCamus. For more information about our church, please like us on Facebook at Union Temple Free Will Baptist Church or visit our website at uniontemplefwb.org.